bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley.
Episode 4.
Produced and dramatised by Be Here.
Chapter 6. Loivarai Farienes Amente. Farian's fate. The bow is shattered. The arrows are all gone. This moment is your spirit's whetstone. Forget the fearful heart. Do not delay. Shoot right away. Buko Kokushi. It was the cold that restored Farian to his senses. The sharp, penetrating cold and the scattered rocks that mercilessly cut into his back. He slowly lifted his eyelids, blinking away the dust. His eyes were lilac, just like Hegel's, a common colour for his kind. Tossed in disorder, the light chestnut of his hair was a stark contrast with the murky redness of the dunes. He wore a simple cowl-neck shirt in white and grey, brown cotton trousers and leather boots. His sandy coat with padded shoulders was torn and covered with grime.
Where am I?
Farian frowned. His throat was dry, he realised. So dry.
What's this place?
He pushed the mess of strangled hair off his face and tried to get up. As soon as that, a shrill pain from his right hip lanced through him with the fierceness that choked his breath.
Damn for the seven winds!
Farian clenched his teeth and slowly forced himself upright. A cloud of dust flitted from his hair and clothing, making him cough.
Focus,
he told himself sternly in his mind.
Bring your awareness to the wound. Now breathe the pain out. Breathe the light in. Push the pain out. That's right. Keep the rhythm.
The familiar meditation was comforting and peaceful and soothing like a summer lake. Farian didn't know long had passed. In that state, no time existed. Finally, he opened his eyes again. The pain was still there, but it dwindled to a level he could manage. More conscious now, he looked around, searching for his battle brothers. A barren wasteland stretched in all directions for miles, troubled on the horizon by a torn ribbon of mountains. Pale constellations glimmered in the faded sky. Ragged cliffs towered behind him, dark and silent, surrounded by the plain of broken stone. There was something deeply unsettling about his dead world, its iciness and morbid silence.
Tay? Guys?
Farian reached out with his extended perception, but sensed no one.
Puzzled, he tried again, in vain. It felt as if, though, he was completely on his own. Impossible.
I guess I must be low on energy or something.
He glanced at his clothes. The mess of blood and sand, and a swishing breath escaped his lips.
Holy venom, look at that!
He suddenly became aware of the dull burning pain from all the cuts and welts.
Crap! This stings! Shh! Crap! 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 Right, first things first. Come on, Crystal, be a good boy. I need you.
A diamond shape appeared above his hand, glowing faintly. Its energy was flickering and dim, hardly enough for healing. Farian studied the crystal critically.
With all due reverence, this sucks.
He clicked his tongue in dismay.
Not seen the level drop this low before. How long did it take for it to recover, I wonder? Seems like I've got rotten luck today. Light, help me. I hope the guys are doing better.
He rubbed his face, searching his memory for clues. trying to figure out where he was. Scattered images swirled in his mind, vague and meaningless, yet slowly, slowly the pieces started to scrape together. An attack? Oh. That moon, they were hit by the dark star there. Yes, that was it. He remembered it now. The fight. The staggering blaze, the chaos and the darkness that had followed. What was that? An explosion? The warrior wrinkled his forehead. It must have been the blast wave that had thrown him here. Right. In that case, the others had to be somewhere close by. Farian examined the dunes again. The rock-blighted desert stretched before him, endless and uncaring. One of those arid planets where life had never thrived or had long ceased to exist. No plants, no animals, no birds. Birds. Farian couldn't explain why he loved them so much. He had always admired the unspoken perfection of all winged creatures. The smooth glide of the majestic Dorcare. The timidity of the Bevith. Those fluttering little emeralds. Yes, even the clumsy Mourne. It might have been awkward and slow on land, but in water, its element would give the Mourne swiftness and grace. The Erital minnows scurrying before its beak like droplets of silver. A world so beautiful once, lost forever. Farian was one of only a handful to survive the fall of Silterion. A strange and lonely path it was to live on when his homeland was no more. 3 years had passed, but the memory still burned in his mind, fresh like a wound. Not even 30 years would make it fade, Farian thought. The horrifyingly long night, the sea of enemies, demons, countless demons throwing flame, flooding in, closing in, hordes of the dark stars that destroyed all in their wake, cries of the dying, dazzling blasts of attacks, and the heavy smoke that burnt the eyes. Many, too many had been killed before they even had a chance to know. Those who remained gave all they had. They fought against hope, doomed yet unbroken till the end. Still, there were not enough defenders, not enough, and they needed a miracle. And a miracle didn't happen. The shadow spread, the fiery surge of death devouring, crushing all. When the last of the Grand Masters, those who remained alive, rose against the darkness as one, arresting the attack force to force, they would not submit, and they would not become dark stars. Their magic was ancient and potent, and horrendous was the force they unleashed, the force that claimed their lives. It seemed as though space itself warped and writhed at their blow. In an instant, the enemy's ranks scattered and perished like dust. The Masters paid the price, embracing their fate as warriors would, calm and unwavering, truthful to their duty to the last breath. Yet hope faded just as soon as it had gleamed. New legions poured in at once, even more hellish in the place of those gone. The Grand Masters only halted the advance of the shadow. The Quarter didn't see the end, the agony and the doom of the last moments. The monstrous energy blasts had thrown their squad and a few others scattered into space. If Damare lived to write his songs, he would have surely birthed a ballad that breaks hearts open. A tale of tragedy and valor, strife and sacrifice. Farian's lips twisted in a sad smile. What good would it be with nobody to hear and to remember? Perhaps Tay could do it instead. The last apprentice of the great bard. Tay did have the talent.
Light and all the gods, Tay, guys!
Reality sluiced over Farian like icy water, forcing him to sober up at once.
Enough dozing. I must find them as soon as. They may need my help.
He hastily dissolved the crystal back into its energy form. Thirsty and weary as he was, at least he could move again. And that instantly made all things better. Farian got to his feet, perhaps too sprightly, and a choking cloud of dust flew right into his face.
Damn sand!
He coughed and cleared his throat.
This hellhole seriously sucks.
The sand was a curse. Coarse. Sticky. Rasping particles everywhere. It clung to his hair and clothes, squeaked between his fingers and irritated his eyes, as though this light-forsaken place was tormenting him on purpose. Farian sighed and reminded himself to stay focused.
It could have been worse. Just find the rest and you'll be out of here.
In the east, the sky brightened into sallow hues, heralding the dawn.
I wonder how hot it gets here when the sun's out.
The warrior turned toward the hills. He crossed a stretch of broken stones, somehow too orderly to be put there by the whims of nature. Idle curiosity stirred up in him, painting visions of an ancient city that might have stood there some unknown millennia ago. That slanted rock sure looked like a fallen pillar. Farian scanned the place again with growing anxiousness, and yet again his extended senses seemed to be deaf and blind. He shook his head. That couldn't be. It made no sense. The guys were certainly alive, all three, since their parts of the crystal didn't return to his. How come he couldn't sense them then? It was a promise of no good. For a short moment, Farian felt a viscid, numbing chill creep up his spine. He frowned and squashed the budding fear at once. Across the plain, the hills harboured shadows, deepening in the first of daylight. Farian squinted his eyes to see, and the corner of his mouth twitched in a semblance of a smile. One of the crevices, larger, looked like an opening to a cave. Perfect. Finally some good news amongst all this.
It could be safer,
he reasoned, directing his step towards the cleft. His gaze traced absently a broken metal carcass of unclear designation, half buried in the ground.
There may be sandstorms here.
He briefly considered an unwelcome presence, but the whole place seemed dead as the galactic space. And even if anything were hiding in that cave, he would just fight it off. The guys might be there already, he mused, which would explain why he couldn't find them outside. Farian hastened his pace, his mood brighter now. The wind stirred little whirls of sand under his feet. The faint glimmer of hope grew gradually into a calm certainty as he walked. Of course, they must be there. There was no other place that Tay might have chosen for a shelter. Over the years, he got to know their captain well. Exceptionally well, in fact. He didn't need to learn. The two were startlingly alike. As time went by, their bond grew from comradeship to brotherhood. Farian could often sense Tay's decision as his own. Well, except for the disgrace at Morionway. Farian winced at the memory. It hurt to think about it even now. He wouldn't have imagined that anything could ever break their friendship. Not like that. Not like that. He set his lips. Sand rasped between them, and he irritably spat it out.
You must accept what is,
he told himself over and over since. And yet the rancor wouldn't go away. What happened was so stupid, so unfair. No matter how they tried to play the game of manners, things had never been the same afterwards. Seeing Tay, quiet and broken, somehow angered Farian even more. He missed the old audacious Tay he respected. He wished he could have his captain and his brother back. He wished they never went to that damned planet in the first place. The sky ripened with the hues of grey and orange. The rising sun traced shadows on the wizened plain. Farian stopped at the entrance to the cave. It was much bigger than it seemed at first, its upper crevice going up and up. He raised his gaze, contemplating. As soon as that, an icy hunch of danger shot through him, a sense of being watched.
Holy venom! How come I didn't notice it before?
Farian rolled to the side and jumped up in the fighting stance. In the next moment, the world went black.
Permission to report, sir.
Sergeant Alzetz Ud-Arx-Ridu nodded without taking his eyes off the holographic space map on the desk before him. His dark uniform reflected the blue glow from the energy lines.
Go ahead, guard.
Sir, we captured a spy.
A spy?
The commander lifted his gaze sharply, his eyes, black with the red outline, narrowed into slits.
So that's what that field disturbance was about. How did he get there?
We don't know, sir. They did not talk.
Why not?
The commander's voice was smooth.
Unconscious, sir. We shot him first.
Zeal before brains, as always.
The commander snorted derisively.
Bring him to me. I'll question him myself.
Yes, sir.
As soon as the guard left, the commander pressed the button of the intercom.
Colonel Quarle, we have some rather interesting news.
Walls. Walls. Only walls around, rough and grey.
For Maruth's damn sake!
Farian hastily closed his eyes, pretending he was still unconscious in case he had been watched, and scanned the place with his extended senses. All was quiet. The warrior slowly lifted his eyelids again. He was in a cell of sorts, hands tied behind his back. The throbbing pain in his right temple reminded him of the close encounter with the ground. Farian licked his lips and scowled at the taste of blood and sand.
The hell is this shithole?
He checked his handcuffs. They were metal. An energy current seemed to be holding the lock. The warrior smirked. A smirk more like a grimace of pain. Slowly, he curled his fingers and sent a minor change through them. The faintest echo of a blow. A buzz went through the manacles, but nothing happened. Farian sighed and sent a stronger charge, nearly burning his skin. The handcuffs clicked and fell off.
That's more like it.
He got up, rubbing his wrists.
That's more like it.
He felt half in control again. There was a movement in the corridor outside. Just then, danger. Farian lurched behind the door and froze. It seemed the enemies were two. His extended perception didn't fail him this time. A few moments later, the narrow steel door opened. The first guard walked in and stopped, confused, trying to locate the prisoner. Farian took him down before the demonoid even had chance to know.
What the?
The other guard stepped forward, and the next blow hit him in the head. He dropped to the floor without a sound. This was Farian's signature attack, instant and lethal, invisible with its paralyzing touch. He had discovered and mastered it himself, secretly proud of the skill nobody else in the team seemed to have. It made him feel unique and needed. He thought even Nesteri might be envious of it, if that weirdo understood emotions.
Must find the guys.
An urging thought came.
They might be in trouble too. How come I can't sense anyone, though? Damn demonoids must be using blocking shields of sorts.
Farian's brows knotted into a deep frown.
Light, I hope they don't. I really hope they don't.
He studied the motionless guards. Blending in could be a good idea. Daregi only knew how long it would take to get out. Farian hastily pulled off one of the jackets and threw it on instead of his own. Next, he picked up the thick band of dark glass that covered the demonoid's eyes. The hefty metal objects on the guard's belt seemed like weapons. Not of the type Farian saw before, but he snatched them, regardless. He took a belt with a holster and fastened it over his hips. The second gun went to his left hand. After a momentary hesitation, he took the boots too. There was no time for a full dress-up party. Farian snuck out into the corridor, closing the door behind. His intuition told him to take a left. He turned the gun in his hand and quickly examined it as he walked. There wasn't much to it. A black metal barrel, furnished with buttons, and a hook attached to a flat handle. Farian carefully pulled on the hook, but it stayed locked in place.
Maybe the buttons.
He wondered, pressing them in random order. Still nothing. The star snorted with annoyance.
Never mind. We'll have another go at it later.
His fingers closed on the handle again, the index finger going through the loop at the top. As soon as that, a flare of blazing fire shot from the gun onto the wall ahead. Farian flinched with shock. Flames spread from the burning hole to the flashes and the frenzied cry of alarms.
Maruth's sake!
He started running. They saw the emergency door closing ahead, grindingly coming together like metal jaws. Farian threw himself forward into the narrowing crack and landed on the other side, cat-footed. The doors met with a heavy clang behind. The corridor was blocked by guards in black and grey, their eyes covered with dark glass, all weapons pointed at him. Farian counted six. Slowly, he got back to his feet, his gaze fixed on the enemies. Slowly, his right hand slid down and pulled the second gun out of the holster. The warrior leant his back against the door, both guns forward. His face was indifferent and calm. Then suddenly, a ghost of a smile touched his lips. It was not a bad way to die, he thought. He fired at the ceiling just above the squad, showering them with bursts of sparks and molten metal. The soldiers cowered.
No fire!
The stern voice of Sergeant Ud Arx-Ridu sounded from the intercom.
I repeat, no fire! We need him alive!
Out of my way!
Farian demanded, taking a step forward. He didn't expect the guards to understand his words, but he hoped the weapon spoke clearly enough. The soldiers cowered again. Suddenly, the two of them nodded at each other and pressed some buttons on their guns. Right after, choking blackness swallowed all for the second time.
He is a real troublemaker, Colonel. Just look at this.
The energy image appeared above Sergeant's desk, of Farian in the corridor earlier. Voices. Two people spoke in front of him, Farian realized as his awareness gradually returned. Two others stood at both sides, silent. He was on his knees, with his hands behind his back in handcuffs.
Damn!
The warrior pressed his lips.
He's awake, Sergeant.
Colonel Quall pointed out as soon as that.
Excellent. We have a few urgent questions. We must find out what language he speaks. I rely on your help, Colonel.
Of course.
Colonel's mouth twitched in a smirk. Manarita Quall was known for her linguistic skills, amongst other things. She rose from her seat.
Let me scan his mind, she said.
Farian finally opened his eyes. Bland metal walls surrounded him from all sides, lit by the long ceiling panels. The middle of the room was dominated by a large, round desk with a hologram projector, which was inactive now. Dark grey carpet covered the floor, the colour of quiet desperation. He saw the sergeant, his black pupils with a red outline, the only distinct feature on his thin, ageing face. The sergeant sat, stiffly upright in his black-grey uniform. His skin bore a pale, bluing tint. Next to him, Farian swallowed. He didn't expect that. Next to the sergeant stood a female dark star. A waterfall of ebony black hair framed her olive face. She seemed young, although it was impossible to say for sure. Instead of a uniform, the colonel wore a long, silky dress, tight and almost ostentatiously lewd, revealing a body that would make any man's heart race. The view was strangely unsettling. Farian shifted his gaze away.
His name is Farian,
the colonel announced.
Farian Meldis, am I correct?
She added in Proxima Centauri B-132, a language Farian understood. The star scowled at the sound of the too familiar Morionwe dialect but didn't reply.
Bring him up,
Menorita ordered to the guards. The soldiers brusquely pulled Farian to his feet. He stood before the enemies, tall and straight, with his dishevelled head proudly up. A calm but fiery determination burnt in his gaze. Menorita regarded him with a hint of curiosity.
It would be quite a joy to break this one,
she mused, a dark smile spread on her face. It was decided.
Sergeant, leave it to me,
she said with honeyed malignance.
I will interrogate him myself.
Colonel, are you sure?
Doubt flicked in Sergeant's voice.
positive.
The sergeant nodded.
Very well. You know your job. Get from him all you can. I'll see you after.
He waved to the guards.
You may both leave,
he ordered.
Yes, sir.
The guards saluted and turned around.
Oh, by the way,
Menorita said to them.
Bring me a glass of water.
She took the glass and put it on the desk beside her so Farian could see it well.
I understand you're thirsty.
She started when they were left alone, her eyes hypnotizingly licentious.
Why don't you come and take what you want?
Farian ignored her.
My name is Menorita.
The Dark Star openly enjoyed her game.
I don't care about your damn name.
Farian retorted spitefully.
Oh, but you should. You should. It's worth knowing your mistress's name.
Her smile was pure poison.
You are no mistress, scum.
Light stars are so cute. I shall keep you. I've decided.
Anger exploded into Farian's mind like a scorching wave, but the warrior took a deep breath and forced himself to remain silent.
Good old overzealous Alzetz believes you are a spy. And you know, spies here get punished.
Menorita slowly leant towards him and tossed the glossy ebony of her hair behind her shoulders.
I could try and convince him to let you be. You know, I help you if you help me,
she added in a confidential whisper.
What do you want, witch?
So quick to anger, are we?
The demonoid moved a little closer.
Is that the way of the light stars?
She teased him.
You know, it's worth being a little bit nicer to someone who is doing their best for you.
Farian took a sharp breath through his clenched teeth.
Your demonoid tricks won't work on me.
A quick moment of focus and his handcuffs fell jangling to the floor. The warrior jumped into a fighting stance.
Ah, so that's how you escaped the first time round?
Menorita commented, unruffled.
Clever, quite clever.
Farian brought up energy for an attack. Glow spread enveloping his right hand.
Open the door and let me out of here,
he ordered. The Dark Star shook her head.
Now this is not clever.
Her lips curled in an amused smile.
I wouldn't advise it.
Open the door.
Farian ignored her words.
Hurry up and I'll spare your life.
Menorita clicked her tongue with disapproval.
That's not how you get yourself favours.
I need no favours from you, demonoid scum.
How unmannered. I'm offering my help and you're being nothing but a nuisance.
Let me out!
Farian shouted angrily, the flashes of lightning around his fist getting brighter.
What will you do? Kill me?
Menorita laughed.
I will if I have to.
Farian's eyes flashed with fire.
Hot temper, I do like it. I wonder if you're so fiery also in...
Farian attacked before the demonoid could finish. Amber flames shot from his right hand toward the Dark Star, nearly reaching her, but in an instant the attack scattered and faded. Menorita deflected his blow without moving an inch. Nonchalantly, she fired back. A dark stream of magenta enveloped Farian, burning and stinging like thousands of wasps, making him gasp for breath. The star writhed with pain but remained silent.
And what would you do if I let you out?
Menorita asked, with mild ridicule, as though nothing happened. Farian's breath was heavy in his chest. He didn't answer.
Oh, I see,
Menorita said.
Looking for your comrades?
The warrior flinched at those words. How did she know?
Let me go,
he repeated grimly.
My patience is fading.
Was that supposed to be a threat?
Menorita jeered.
You're too weak to fight. Face it, you're on your own. I could kill you right now.
What stops you then, you damned witch? Kill me as you killed them.
Menorita sighed with visible exasperation.
I never killed them,
she said. Her voice sounded puzzlingly sincere.
I never saw them here. I do know where they are, though, if that's of interest.
She lowered his eyelids and looked Varian straight in the face. He told himself to hold her gaze this time.
Let me show you. You deserve to know the truth.
What truth?
The truth of where they are, and how they betrayed you.
Shut the hell up! You are pathetic. Arya warriors never betray their friends.
That's what you think.
She waved a hand, and suddenly in Farian's mind appeared a vision of Tay, Hegel, and Nesteri in sunny woodland, as vivid as if he stood there by their side.
Look. Look well. They have forgotten all about you.
Your crap tricks don't work on me,
Farian answered icily. The vision wouldn't disappear, though. So clear that Farian could almost touch the trees.
Well, tell me then. Where are they? Why not by your side?
None of your damn business, witch.
Farian finally managed to force the mirage away. He was back in the room with metal walls.
You know I'm right, sweetie. If they were near, you could sense their presence, couldn't you? But you can't, because they've left you. That's the truth.
You know nothing about loyalty and honour, demonoid scum. I'd never doubt the guys, not for a moment. They will come for me, wherever they are.
Well, you must have noticed that they didn't, surely?
Menorita said patiently.
You are alone. You know it just as well as I do.
The floor seemed to soften suddenly beneath Farian's feet. Menorita's words cut like blades. He hated them. He hated them so much, and yet, deep down, they rang disturbingly true.
Light, help me!
He had to remain strong, no matter what. He couldn't let the demonoid know his doubts.
I don't believe your lies!
He flared.
I'm telling you the truth.
Menorita's smile was poisonously sweet.
Go ahead. Use your extended senses. You know I'm right.
No!
You just don't want to admit it.
She sent another vision, bright and clear, of all three walking by the riverside laughing.
They found a way to travel without you. They don't care about you anymore.
Nonsense, they'd never leave me.
Farian retorted, striving to erase the memory of what he had just seen. This time, it was harder.
Nothing can break our bond.
For the cursed arts, stop being so delusional, you're not a kid. Can't you see? They've left you here to die.
Bullshit!
Farian threw at her fiercely. The room was closing on him. With the swirl of darkness, the air turned into a vicious haze. The Dark Star ignored his outburst.
Calm down. Although light has abandoned you, the shadow will be always there. Surrender. Come into its arms. Drink in its sweetness. Ah, yes. Here's your glass of water, too.
I won't touch it. It's poisoned.
It's not,
Menorita answered with a broad smile. She caressed the glass with her fingertips, then picked it up and slowly took a sip. A drop of water rolled from the corner of her lips down her neck.
You will have to accept reality, whether it pleases you or not.
Menorita ran her finger, tracing the drop down the cleavage of her dress, her gaze wandering and lustful. Farian felt something stirring inside him against his will.
She's hot.
The uninvited thought flicked through his mind.
I wish.
He froze, terrified, suddenly aware of what was happening to him.
Damn demonoid's tricks! I cannot, must not look at her. I will not let her take my mind over.
His face twisted with anger.
If you don't have the guts to kill me, fuck off!
He growled. Menorita softly stepped toward him, holding the glass. Her lips still glistened with water. Strange hotness ran through Farian's limbs, his chest deepening.
There.
Menorita's voice was soothing like a balm.
Take this.
No!
Farian sharply knocked the glass out of his hand, water splashing everywhere.
No, I won't take anything from you!
Menorita did not so much as blink. The unyielding willfulness of the stranger and his grim, fire-eyed determination both surprised and excited her. She'd never met anyone of his kind before.
You have nothing to fight for anymore,
she told him. The room swam dizzily around Farian, the dark fog thickening.
No,
he whispered stubbornly.
I'll never join you. Never.
You are free now. Do you realize?
Menorita measured him with a lecherous gaze, biting her lip.
You don't have to follow their rules. Only your true desires.
Get lost!
Farian gasped. A treacherous tremble ran through him.
You can't!
Menorita took a half step forward.
I know how much you want it. How much you lust for it.
Her voice was deep and intoxicating with desire.
Look, your hands shake. Come, I'll show you the pleasure beyond all you've ever known. Surrender!
Enough!
Farian straightened up and raised his hand to attack. As soon as that, a suffocating wave of darkness engulfed him, nearly swaying on his feet. The star clenched his fist so hard that his knuckles turned white.
I will not let you defeat me,
he managed a strangled whisper. And then both Menorita and the room were gone. Only dark waves remained. The dark waves swelled, pulling him in, smothering, throttling from all sides, tearing his consciousness apart with unspoken torment. How long it lasted, he didn't know. The gaping chasm that opened before him had no end.
That's it. I'm done for.
Thoughts swirled through Farian's head as autumn leaves chased by the wind.
Stay calm. Stay calm,
he told himself. And yet icy fear crept in, unrelenting, mixed with a strange dark fire, and he shuddered.
There's no way I can win with hardly any energy to fight. Guys, why did you do this to me? Why?
A paralyzing, overwhelming sense of loneliness swept over him.
Why did you leave me?
Never in his entire life did he feel as lost as he was now. From the swirling haze, his friends' faces floated up at him, and Farian felt his heart slowly die inside.
Damn, guys, I really need you. Please, where are you? Where are you? Answer me! What if...
he swallowed.
What if Menorita was right?
For the first time, Farian called the Dark Star by her name. The venom of despair was flowing through his veins.
No! I'm a warrior!
A quiet voice said within.
I'll show that witch what Silterianese stars are made of.
You can't change anything. Surrender.
The waves were taunting him with thousands of eyes, black like the eyes of the Dark Star. It felt as if all life was being drawn from him drop by a golden drop. The world was only pain and darkness and the whisper of waves.
I must fight.
Your fight is over. You're on your own. Alone. The shadow must prevail. There is no hope.
With every moment, it was harder to breathe.
There's no hope.
Farian mindlessly repeated after a pause, his eyes closed. Yet he was fighting still. The black hell stung and burned and hissed and laughed with myriads of voices, luring and tempting with the abysses of eyes, all staring at him, calling and demanding. The dark fire coming from his loins spread through his body, crushing his defenses, wrenching, making him crave what Menorita promised with all he was. He wanted her, right now, right now. A hot wave of desire made him shiver.
Take me, I'm yours.
His dry lips whispered, unconscious, his breath rasping in his throat.
Surrender!
Cried the shadow.
Surrender.
Farian repeated in his mind.
There's no hope. They've all abandoned me.
A breath of cold rushed through, blacker than black, and he was drowning in it.
Light, no! I can't surrender. I cannot.
The waves wreathed and hit harder, crashing upon him, as tall as towers. And they were towers, first darkening the sky, but in the heartbeat tumbling down in giant blocks of stone, their walls collapsing in a nightmare rain of death, inevitable, slow, and silent.
No!
The shrieking cry shot up, scattering into countless echoes. Then, suddenly, death quiet sealed it all. The roar and the hissing of the waves had ceased. Time itself seemed to have stood still. Soundlessly, the black towers quivered and cracked, perishing, fading like the morning mist. Farian stood pale and frozen, his forehead covered with the cold sheen of sweat. Arduously, he opened his eyes. The world around was a dizzy haze. When his vision returned, he saw the dark star still standing close.
For the cursed arts, you are damn good!
The astonishment in her voice rang genuine.
I never thought you could come out of that. Nobody ever did.
Farian regarded Benarita with an aloof stare. He didn't have the energy to even hate her now. He felt nothing. The fight had taken all his strength.
Please!
He wheezed, a plea of naked pain.
Let me go!
The dark star smirked triumphantly. With the grace of a hunting panther, she stepped toward Farian and sensually brushed his shoulder with her fingertips. Farian staggered back, helplessly. There was nowhere to run. Menorita's eyes were so close, tempting and teasing. The reflection of the abyss danced in them. All that remains after the last hope dies. Despair mixed with rapture, the black waves. Her hands burned like fire. She touched his neck and slid her fingers down his spine, gentle at first, but then more forceful. Farian trembled as pain and pleasure lashed through him, both at once. He knew what she was about to do, but had no force left in him to resist. He was defenseless, ensnared in Menorita's arms.
Surrender to me. Now.
She demanded softly. Farian felt her breath on his face. As Menorita's lips touched his, the world around vanished. Devoured by a raging whirl of darkness, the shadow energy burst into Farian's body, ripping through with an agony he'd never known, pulling him in deeper and deeper, blurring his memories, shattering his will. He didn't even notice when an unwanted tear ran down his cheek. The sorrow of the fading light.
Bringing books to life. Vision without sight.